Alrighty, good morning all. We will call the meeting to order, please. Alrighty, so the first item, new business introduction. Councillor Jones, you're up first. Do you have any items to add to the agenda? Nope. Councillor Neal?
I got one item on regional review.
Okay. Councillor Trail?
One item on flooding.
Councillor Short?
No.
Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
No, sir.
Thank you, and I would encourage once again that, you know, in openness and transparency and letting the rest of us know and staff know, if you can share the new business as soon as possible, certainly appreciated. On a motion to adopt the agenda. Thank you, Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor, apparently you're Councillor Neal, Councillor Jones, and Councillor Neal is Councillor Jones. You guys were just seeing if I was paying attention.
Oh, sorry.
You guys were. On the motion to adopt the agenda, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Okay, guys, I saw two hands in support and none in opposed. Okay, all in support of adopting the agenda, opposed, carried. Thank you. Do we have any declarations? I see no declarations. Announcements, and because the last couple of weeks have all been about Mr. Penn, and we don't want to change that, you know, new, what should we call this, trend? I was looking for something stronger, tradition. Mr. Penn, do you have some introductions to make for us? It's all about finance, just saying.
I do, Your Worship. It's nice because for 3 months we've been short and 8 months we've been without a deputy treasurer, so I was excited today to actually have a full finance staff when I walked in, and I'll knock on wood for that. I'd like to introduce first our manager of accounting services, Michelle Pick, who council would have seen at last Monday's council meeting. Michelle comes to us from Scugog, where she was the deputy treasurer there and is looking after our accounting services department. And starting today is Paul Kramer, who comes to us from Pickering. He'll be the new deputy treasurer. And he's previously served in treasurer roles in smaller municipalities in central Ontario as well.
To both of you, welcome. It is good having you here, and if you know to reach out if you need to reach out, and we'll talk about Trevor later on. All right. On announcements, Councillor Neal, you're up first.
No announcements, sir.
Councillor Trail.
Thank you. I actually have a few. So as a member of the Tyrone Community Hall Board, there's a few things coming up. Every Thursday from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, there will be a music and movement program for children from age 0-ish to 6. Friday, April 5th is movie night with free admission at the doors open at 6:30. The movie starts at 9. Okay. Sunday, April 7th, there will be a Ukrainian egg decorating for $10 from 1 to 4 p.m. And we've also started doing youth dances. And these are on Fridays. There'll be one on Friday, April 12th. And the dance for grades 2 to 5 is from 5 to 7. And the dance for grades 6 to 8 is from 7:30 to 10:30. Secondly, Councillor Hooper and I had the distinct pleasure of bringing regards from the municipality last week to Patty Rice and Marlene McCall, and as well as Neil McLean, regarding the 50th anniversary celebration of the Bowmanville Clinic Pharmacy. Now, Marlene's father, Neil McLean, first opened its doors in 1969, and I personally remember visiting the building way back when there was Dr. Rundle there and Dr. Blanco, so it was exciting to see that his daughter, Marlene, has carried on the family business, and it was also interesting to learn that the co-owner of the pharmacy, Patty Rice, is also from a Bowmanville pharmacy family, as her grandfather, Alex McGregor, opened Bowmanville's oldest pharmacy, McGregor's IDA. So it was exciting to bring regards regarding their 50th anniversary. Finally, this is a cause that's near and dear to my heart. McMasters, a family that I actually grew up next to here in Bowmanville, their son, Brad, bear with me because the type is really small. Brad and Katie took a leap many years ago and decided to venture down the path of adoption. With Katie being in infant development and Brad a teacher, they felt they could be the best parents for a young boy who was diagnosed with Down syndrome. Maddie joined their family around the time he turned one. And fast forward almost 2 years, they also adopted another young boy, Xander, also with Down. So as the boys are continuing to grow and develop, they are experiencing some health issues. Maddie will undergo his third surgery for his hips and pelvis, and the other, Xander, has been experiencing mobility issues. So they are trying to have an elevator installed in their home to assist with both children. Their fundraising goal is $40,000. They're available on GoFundMe, and I've shared this on my social media. They're currently at $13,000 of their $40,000 goal. So I urge everybody to spread the word and to donate to this worthy cause to help them provide accessibility for their children. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Zord.
Yes, we're well into pancake season now. There's pancake supper at the St. George's Anglican Church on Tuesday and St. Xavier's Anglican. I think St. Xavier's is free. And also on Tuesday, there's a public information session for the 115-35 improvements. It was canceled because of weather a few weeks ago, so this is rescheduled. And it's at the Orno Community Hall, which is the room upstairs at the arena.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Anderson.
Nope.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. I have a couple announcements. Actually, they're kind of past announcements, but anyways, I'm going to do it. Regards to this past Friday, I, as many know on staff, I had the opportunity to attend the award ceremony for, actually it was an appreciation luncheon for the United Way Durham Region. And I was very proud to sit in the audience with our representation from the municipality of Clarington, and they achieved the Exceptional Achievement Award by municipalities. And I would just like to say congratulations to Mr. Horvath. I know I'm stealing a little bit of your thunder from the other day. But, and his group, the team here at Municipality of Clarington, they did very well in regards to their fundraising efforts. And I just want to say congratulations. It takes a leader to motivate the team. And I just want to say thank you to Mr. Horvath and his organization for that. I also attended yesterday the Sports and Leisure Fair, and as well as Councillor Zwart was there as well, and it was a very well-run event. We are in very good hands as far as our active active transportation group. Talk about a bunch of people that are really gung-ho about what they do and things like that, and as well as the Clarington Cycling Group, and all the organizations showed up there yesterday. It was a very well-attended event. And I just thought we're in very good hands with some of the volunteers that we have running those that organization. Also, don't forget, this weekend starts the March break, and the library, Clarington Library, is taking the theme, Magical March Break, with the theme on magical. And I just want everybody to make sure that they have an opportunity to have kids and they're not going away. Come to Clarington Libraries. There's going to be lots of things happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jones.
No announcements.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, I've got one and a half. So the first and the our soon-to-be deputy clerk pointed out to me, remember on Sunday, daylight savings time, which seems really, really, really early this year, but it is nonetheless. And the other. I'm going to look to Basha. I just had to do that and catch you unprepared with an announcement. From Festivals and Events Ontario. I think you all saw that. Ms. Radomski, would you care to share with us the award, what it's about, and another indication of what an amazing place we are.
Thank you, Mayor Foster. So as you will see in the report that is before Council today, the municipality, and we all knew this already, but this is formalized through this beautiful award, has been named the 2019 Festivals and Events of Ontario Municipality of the Year in our population category. This is in large part due to our wonderful community working with stakeholders and our wonderful staff across operations, community services, tourism, banding together and working together with our stakeholders to ensure that these events across the municipality from Orno Fair, Apple Fest, Maple Fest, go ahead as smoothly as possible. So we are extremely proud of this. Staff were on hand last week at the conference to receive this award. We're very, very proud of this, and we're going to use this in our marketing to attract even more wonderful people to this wonderful and great community. So I just wanted to let council know we're having a little celebration this Thursday in our office, and everyone has received an invitation. We hope that you can join us to celebrate Clarington and our wonderful community. So thank you.
Basha, thank you, and please pass along our thanks to all of the stakeholders. We couldn't do it without the community members, but thanks to staff who add so much to it as well. Great, thank you. Alrighty, could I have a motion on the minutes? We've got three sets, Feb 11, Feb 15, and Feb 19. I'll take all three, and if we need anything pulled for errors or omissions, that'd be great. Thank you, Councillor Hooper and Councillor Jones. So that's on all three. Do we need any polls? Questions, comments, errors, omissions? I'm seeing none. I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. We have two sets of delegations this morning. We've got Ramesh Jagannathan. You are used to us slaughtering your name at Durham Region, and now you can add Clarington to that, and Amanda Spencer. So welcome, thank you for joining us. This was a request of Clarington that you come and speak to priorities at the region and how they impact us. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of the committee. I'm here along with Amanda Spencer, who is a project manager for Durham Traffic Safety. It's my pleasure to be here to give you an overview of the transportation priorities for regional roads in Clarington for 2019 and the next 9 years to follow. Okay, how do I move this here? Okay. I just wanted to give you a flavor of the framework that the region uses to plan and design and advance regional roads, not just in Clarington, overall. The foundation for all this is the Durham Region Strategic Plan, which calls for us to develop the regional road infrastructure in a sustainable, multimodal manner. Using that, the Regional Council approved their second Transportation Master Plan in early 2018, which lays out some broad principles of the roads to be expanded, intersections to be modified for operational and safety improvements, bus rapid transit expansions to happen over the next decade and beyond. It defines the asset management principles, which points to the roads that we need to rehabilitate in a timely manner to reduce the life cycle cost. It speaks to the regional roads that would focus on movement of goods. It defines a regional cycling network, which itself is going to be updated later this year. It outlines the traffic safety objectives and as well broad climate change considerations, such as maintaining a traffic signal plant that could withstand the windstorms and so on that seem to be on the increase. We superimpose on these infrastructure requirements the realities of financing that happen, that are expected over the next 10 years. Based on that, on an annual basis, we develop a 10-year capital plan. One such plan for 2019 did get approved or was proposed to Regional Council in January, on the basis of which a 10-year plan will be going to Regional Council, starting from Works Committee this week through to Council end of March. Many considerations go into developing our regional 10-year capital plan for road improvements. They include, this is an exhaustive list, I'll just go through it like very quickly. It takes into account the current and future land use forecasts and the trip demands that it generates on the road network. Many safety reviews go as an input to this, including operational deficiencies. Pavement condition is monitored on the regional road network alternate years, so we have a good pavement index condition index information on the regional road network as well as the structures. We have transit input, certainly on the rapid transit side. We have a regional cycling plan. The timing for these projects are coordinated with input from local area municipalities, as well as water and sewer replacement and new infrastructure. Certainly coordinate with projects that are coming through the province. We take public and council input. We did get extensive input on the transportation master plan, which got approved in 2018. Typical project goes, especially a road expansion, can take 3 to 5 years for its development, starting with planning, design, acquiring property, moving utilities, and getting the necessary permits. And there are many other related considerations, such as, like, you know, trying to get rid of the partial load restrictions on the goods movement network. Just to give a broad context, the 2019 program that will be that was considered by council in January was $94.5 million. As you can see, close to half of it is related to road expansion projects, which is an indication of region in good growth mode. And of the other half, a significant portion goes towards road rehabilitation, indication of the fact we do have aging infrastructure. And the remaining are all bridge replacements, rehabs, traffic signals, other traffic control devices. Focusing on Clarington, the 2019 program includes $5 million towards expansion projects, which includes one project, like the first one in the table to the right, $3.4 million, a proposed roundabout at the regional road 3 and 57. And the remaining six projects, like including four, there includes four intersection projects and two linear road projects, one being the regional road 58, which is the extension of Adelaide from town line to Trulls. The money that you see allocated there is to move the project further for a subsequent year implementation. And the other linear project here is on Town Line Road from Beatrice to Taunton. So in total, it's $5 million towards expansion projects. Beyond 2019, over the next 10 years in the forecast, there's about $107 million in road expansions. A good chunk, $95.1 million, is towards construction, and the others, and the remaining portion is to advance planning and design for projects that would be beyond the 10-year forecast. The table shows like some big examples of projects that are in the 10-year forecast, such as Blue Street and Regional Road 57 and Liberty Street. I do have a map later on that will go into a little more detail on this. Just focusing on 2019 for a moment, as I said, there's $5 million in expansions, one of which is construction, the first project you see here, the roundabout at Regional Road 3 and Bowmanville Avenue. The next two lines in this table are a significant road rehabilitation projects, one on Taunton from Town Line to Enfield, and the other one on Bowmanville Avenue, like south of the proposed roundabout. So that's the $2.8 million and the other $1.5. And the remaining projects in 2019 are all rehabilitation projects. There's a bridge replacement, Hampton Bridge. There's another bridge like Burkton Overpass Bridge. So the total here, which includes expansions and rehabs and bridge replacement rehab, amounts to just over $10 million that's proposed for 2019. Again, anything that shown as construction, it's a financing forecast. There are projects that probably won't be tendered until later this year, so they may get into next year. This just shows the 10-year forecast in a graphic here. There are some common themes to this, like as we would expect, there are infrastructure pressures at the west end of the municipality from a regional road network point of view. Hence the road improvements you're seeing here on Blue Street and on Highway 2 and the new connection on Adelaide between Town Line and Trulls. And the green colors, like on Taunton, for example, is the 2019 project that I mentioned from Town Line to Enfield. So that's one theme, the transportation infrastructure pressures laid by the trip demands to the western municipalities. And the second common theme you would see here is the pressure close to the 401 interchanges, such as on Regional Road 57, and as well on Liberty Street around the 401 interchanges. And the third and the last theme that I want to point out here is the growing traffic demands on Regional Road 4 or Taunton Road. And as is typical for a growing committee, which has started with the two-lane road on a number of its links, before you would consider like, you know, widening further, you try to open up the bottlenecks, hence you would see a number of intersection modifications that are being studied over the forecast period along Regional Road 4. In addition to the projects that I mentioned, there are five intersection locations that are going to be upgraded in terms of traffic control, which amounts to a little over $500,000. There are two along Regional Road 57, one at Concession Road 7 and one at Hartwell Avenue. And the other two are on Regional, the other three are on Regional Road 4. Two of them are traffic signals, one at the Road 42 and one at Green Road. The last one is a flashing beacon signal at Taunton and Best, which basically is to address the safety concerns we've had there due to a skewed intersection. As I mentioned, there are many two-lane roads on the regional road network in Durham, in Clarington, many of which are like becoming pinch points. So over the next 10 years, there's at least 10 locations that will be reviewed for potential roundabouts. Like one of them, as I mentioned, is the Regional Road 3 and 57, which is through design now expected to be awarded sometime this year for completion of the roundabout.
Mr. Nathan, I'm going to interrupt you just for a moment. I have a motion for a two-minute extension. Councilor Neal, Councilor Traill, all in support. Opposed, carried. Thank you.
There's five more on Taunton Road. Like, I won't go through the list. That will be reviewed for potential roundabout location. And that's the second slide. There's four more. So in total, there are 10 locations that are being studied for potential roundabouts to be installed over the forecast period. There's plenty of road safety treatments to come around, a little over $1 million, including extension of the guide rail program, nine signalized intersections where audible PED signals and countdown timers are going to be installed, three signalized intersections for signal head upgrades, basically to reduce the number of signal heads that get twisted in windstorms, and uninterrupted power supply to allow the signals to operate for an extended period and power failures and so on. And we are also getting into wider paved shoulders on any road rehabs, which would provide for a safer cycling environment. Oh, of course, Durham Vision Zero is something I can talk about if interested. I didn't want to lose sight of the strategic nature of some of these projects that go beyond Clarington but benefits Clarington, such as the projects that have been lined up to assist with the additional traffic generated by 407, 418 extensions, as well as the Go Bowmanville extension, which is the rationale for some of the projects like Blue Street and Bowmanville Avenue. That concludes my presentation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. I'm guessing there are a few questions. Councilor Neal.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So through you to Mr. Jagannathan, first of all, there's nothing in there that talks about Prestonville and Highway 2. So, but I've been bringing this up on a number occasions, I guess. So, and what our engineering department says is that's a regional responsibility. So how far down south of Highway 2 does the regional sort of jurisdiction extend? Does it extend as far as Robert Adams? Does it include Robert Adams, the intersection of Prestonville and Robert Adams? Because I see that as one of the key challenges we have, and I don't, like I said, I've seen nothing in any of the regional plans to address this. So.
The jurisdiction at a regional road intersection typically goes to the extent of the taper of a turning lane. So if you're looking at Prestonville Road, our jurisdiction, the region's jurisdiction, would go to the beginning of the northbound left turn lane. For example, if turning volumes would ever require us to consider a longer length and if it's feasible, and if the turning lane is to be extended further south, that would extend our jurisdiction as well.
Okay, but it's basically starts out, once you turn left from Robert Adams, it basically starts out as one lane. It broadens out into two lanes, you know, about roughly halfway up. So can you clarify that for me, like exactly where the region considers their jurisdiction to start?
Yeah, where it broadens to two lanes.
No, but what I'm saying is, can you, I don't know, take a GIS map, not right now,
okay,
but next time out of the region, can you hand me a map that that points where the region's jurisdiction starts?
Because, sure.
Okay.
Will do.
And what are your plans for that intersection?
There's no imminent plans other than, like, you know, I believe it's due for our usual turning movement count, which would happen sometime in May. Based on that, like, you know, the signal timing reviews would be reviewed, signal timings would be reviewed again, whether there's an extension of green time to the northbound phase. Like, there's nothing on the southbound, so we would never probably consider a protected left turn. So whether there's a requirement to extend the northbound green time, or I suppose if there's a compelling case to extend the turning lane, that would be a separate project.
Okay, so, but there's no plans to do anything currently, right?
Not in the forecast, no.
So, all right, are you familiar with how much development is slated for South Curtis? Are you familiar with that?
Certainly I do, probably not to the extent that Amanda would, but that's the reason we do review the traffic volumes, like, if not every year, at least every 2 years. At some point in time, I'm not sure what other options do we have at that intersection, other than obviously we can increase the cycle length, which usually has an impact on, like, you know, Highway 2. That's probably the constraint. Our main progression is along Highway 2. So changing the signal timing, changing the cycle length, extending the northbound left turn lane, these are probably the options. Roundabout, I don't see that being a candidate, but...
No, I don't think, but... Yeah. I mean, are you not gonna have to add a left turning lane there that...
Oh, like a dual left?
Right. Is that, I mean, I guess if you were there sometimes in the morning, you'd see that, for example, if you're turning left from Robert Adams, the lineup extends beyond Robert Adams.
Oh, okay.
So that, you know, the cars are held up on Robert Adams from making a left-hand turn, so.
Why don't I commit to, we will do the turning volume count in May,
okay,
and we'll also take into consideration the growth that you're mentioning.
Right.
And if it warrants, like, you know, we will do the right thing.
Thank you. Highway 2 and 57, I mean, how much more traffic can that handle? Because, again, I see a lot of, I guess some of the, what I would consider the less busy intersections getting attention, whereas Highway 2 and whatever you want to call it, Bowmanville Avenue or whatever, like, the volumes there just seem to me to go up, up, up all the time. So I guess there's going to be an expansion of the road there, right? Like the 57 is going to be expanded.
Yes,
but is that not going to put more pressure on the intersection at Highway 2?
I would need to look at the current level of service again. Like, you know, signal timing reviews are done regularly. It already has a signal. At some point in time, I would think, like, Highway 2 coordination would have to be reviewed, whether it has to, it's a trade-off always between progression on Highway 2 and what happens north-south, right? At some point in time, like, we may have to increase the cycle length on Highway 2, but that we would be guided by traffic volumes and delays and so on. We review, like, these corridors regularly, and Highway 2 is certainly one of our primary candidates for our traffic department's review on an ongoing basis.
Okay. One of the concerns I've had is, for example, I think it's Regional Road 42. I think I raised this question back at Durham Region Council, but I couldn't understand why that pavement was left just let to basically alligator and, you know, It seems to me it could have been maintained a little better, but have you looked at that?
Yeah, I've talked to the depot staff, certainly because from an average daily traffic volume point of view, we have many road segments in Durham region, as you would know and appreciate, that have a pavement condition index of less than 20, and they carry thousands and thousands of vehicles per day. Whereas on Regional Road 42 north of Highway 2, the volume last time I saw is the order of 2,000 to 3,000, I think. So it's just a matter of priority. We do have our road rehab funding expecting to increase over the next few years. That might get more attention. I did talk to my depot staff to see if there's any, as soon as the weather gets better, if they're at least able to do some patch treatment. But I'm told the legacy issue with that road is really poor drainage. So you could spend a lot of money just to, patch it up the alligator is just going to keep resurfacing.
But can't you get on it earlier so that it doesn't get to that point? That's all.
Why it wasn't, I'm not privy to that history, but certainly I think it's gone to the point of no return. It really needs the right job.
No, it is now, yeah, definitely.
It is, yeah. Okay. But I know we've spent money trying to patch it up, but I've always been told that's not the permanent solution.
Well, what about the Lambs Road interchange? What do you foresee happening there? Because we're going to be looking at a study for an interchange there on the 401. Is that part of the region's?
Well, the region certainly is in support of swapping the interchange at Bennett for Lambs. It is in our official plan. It's in the Clarington official plan. I know with the leadership of the municipality of Clarington and the region's support, we are trying to get MTO to accelerate that the review of all the interchanges on 401, including Bennett, Lambs, and Liberty, and so on. Because otherwise, by default, MTO was going to do a major rehab of the Bennett structure. So we are trying to, I suppose the short answer is we are on the same page. It's an MTO project, but Clarington and the region are on the same page to have the interchange at Lambs for Bennett.
So you see it as a swap, basically?
Well, that's the way the official plan has designated, yeah, because otherwise the spacing is too short and the weaving sections would be impacted.
So would that include all exit and entrance?
Basically, would be the entire interchange closed at Bennett. Perhaps Clarington staff can clarify, okay. But that's my understanding.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. We've got Councillor Hooper next.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Thank you for coming forward this morning and appreciate your presentation. Could you provide us with copies of that too as well?
Sure, the clerk has it, but I can.
If I could ask for that. My one question, or I have a couple questions actually, and I'm surprised Councillor Neal didn't touch on it, was Regional Road Concession 3, further up on top of the Enniskillen Hill, as I call it. We do have traffic signals there, and I see it's proposed to have a roundabout there. Is that a wise move as far as taking out a signalized intersection, which is based pretty much on movement of traffic? I think there's sensors in the lights, whatever, that sort of allows people to go from east-west and north-south. Have we had any consultation with any of the residents up there to see if that would be? I know you depend a lot on traffic studies and stuff like that, but I mean, have we spoken to any of the residents in regards to Concession Road 3 and Regional Road 14 and Bowmanville Avenue?
Yeah, that's the one due for night.
Sorry, I got the wrong one. I always get confused when they start using Concession 3 and Regional Road 3 and whatever.
Sorry, which one is this? RR3
right
and
57? Right there, first one, yeah. the first one, sorry.
Yeah, well, that intersection, which is going for roundabout construction later this year or early next year, has a long history. It's had about 25, 26 collisions in a 10-year period. Many of them have been identified as candidates that are preventable collisions with a roundabout. Roundabouts are they don't work at every location, but where they are deemed to be feasible, they outdo signalized intersections by significantly in terms of collisions, by 30 to 40% on all collisions, but on the more severe collisions, head-ons, because you have reduced the number of conflict points significantly, and they have reduced the approach speed significantly. The severity of collisions comes down drastically. So that particular roundabout project has been in the region's annual capital plan for about 8, if not 9 years. And the signal that you see there was really a quick response to a lot of increasing traffic volumes due to the 407 and the Friday afternoon traffic. At one time, we used to have like a lot of paid duty traffic to manage that intersection. In terms of engagement, we are getting close to 30% design, which is when we've already talked to the immediate vicinity property owners, including the fire chief at the fire hall in the northeast quadrant. So there will be at least one public meeting, open house. Staff have been engaged, but will be engaged even more as we advance the design over the next months and weeks and months.
And I would just like to say thank you for understanding the situation that was presented there because of the 407. And with staff, go back to Councillor Trim, who initiated and through residents' complaints and things like that, putting in the traffic lights and the flashing light. Yeah. First it was the flashing light, now it's the traffic lights, and it seemed to have alleviated the problem substantially. So I just don't know. Anyways, that's just my opinion of the roundabouts. I mean, because of the situation with people using roundabouts and things like that, and it's an education process. So, I mean, I look forward to it, to something being done there in regards to the traffic movement. One other comment I have, and thank you very much for recognizing the fact we do have issues in regards to the 407 or 401 and Liberty Street and Waverly Road, Bowmanville Avenue. I just wish that there was some way that we could, I know that something's going to happen there eventually, that there was some interim plan that we could put in place to move traffic off, especially at Waverly Road and Liberty Street, to move traffic so that, in particular, Waverly Road, with the one intersection we have there with a stop sign that sort of pushes people back out into the left lanes of the 401. And I just wondered if the region looks at that, and as well, I know the municipality has, and I just wonder if we could sort of partnership or work together to sort of make that a little better for the interim, not full time, because I know it's going to be all changed as far as.
Yeah, absolutely open to it. Like, we do talk to your staff regularly. If they have anything, they want to propose as a joint review, like, we'll be happy to move forward.
Okay, and one other final thing that I have is, in regards to Liberty Street, I know you did pave the shoulders coming along Liberty Street North up to concession 3. And I just wondered why you didn't continue that right to the corner. Is that because they're going to put in traffic signalization there, and they eventually will? Because what it is almost like people in the north use that as sort of a walking path to get to the, up into on concession 3. And I just wondered why we stopped it sort of halfway.
I believe that'll be done as part of the northerly segment. I suppose you had to stop it somewhere, and otherwise, like, you're not salvaging much as part of the next segment. So it will be done as part of the northerly extension.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Trail.
Thank you, and thank you through the chair. Just one quick one that I did promise residents I would bring up, and that is with respect to Taunton Road and Acres. Acres Road was dead-ended by the 407 construction, and that means residents only have the Taunton entrance and exit to Acres now. There's also quite a few customers that are using that business. So residents have come to me because they're very concerned about the big hill. There's a crest there, which is very, very difficult to see around. There's a school bus stop, and I know that residents have reached out to the school board to no avail as with respect to that as well, because in the winter with icy conditions, they don't feel it's a safe place for their kids to get on. And then lastly, we've got a major issue too, because over 400 pounds of crop, I guess, is brought out through there. So I just didn't know if this was something that's on the region's radar. I know residents have been bringing this up since 2008 through former Councillor Wu as well as Sue Siopis. So we haven't had a follow-up. I don't know what the region could really do. Cutting down the hill is a very expensive and costly initiative, but perhaps something else could be done, and I just wanted to convey these concerns directly because this is something that they've been dealing with for quite a long time.
Yes, I recall working with Councillor Wu on that issue. We did undertake a consulting assignment that looked at Taunton Road from in that vicinity all the way over to Best Road. And we did identify concerns with regards to the sight lines. So for vehicles exiting at Acres Road, not being able to see approaching vehicles on Taunton Road. And also that is exasperated with trucks as well, right, who require more time to accelerate when they do make that turn. So in that assignment, they did identify some improvements which we plan to move forward with. So we're looking at signage improvements, putting beacons on signs to bring more awareness to the regulatory sign to alert drivers that there's a road there and to proceed with caution. We did look at the bus stop as well, I believe, relocating that bus stop to a safer location, and possibly looking at additional lanes, if possible, to allow the trucks to turn onto Taunton and have a little bit of an accelerating lane to merge into traffic. So we do plan to review those solutions that have been identified and look at putting those into a Capital Road program or rehab.
Thank you. And through the chair, it's my understanding that facility is also becoming an event venue, which means we are looking now at potentially, you know, hundreds of people turning onto Taunton on a blind hill. So I appreciate the region's efforts, and I look forward to seeing those put into place.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jones.
Thank you very much for this. It's very interesting information, very helpful, because I do get a lot of calls and requests around the traffic and the roads in Curtis. And I was wondering if we could go back in the presentation to Bloor Street, and I know that was mentioned Preston Vale to Curtis Road, and the timeline on, I think, expanding that.
Yes, I believe the project in the books is to improve the overall corridor for operations and safety, and to bring in a three-lane cross-section, essentially to have turning movements at the various access locations to happen in a safe manner.
So that'll be a three-lane?
Yeah, a three-lane cross-section. Three-lane cross-section is really a two-lane road with a middle lane, like where you siphon off to serve the turning movements.
Right. And what was the time on that one?
Not a good answer, 2026.
2026, wow. Absolutely, I hear all the time about the concern around Bloor Street, especially from, right, and was there any mention of Town Line to Preston Vale?
No. No Bloor.
So there's no timeline on that at all?
Other than some cycling infrastructure, I believe, no road works.
Because I know the residents are quite concerned about that part as well of Bloor Street. And there is a development that it's going to be going in right at Bloor Street and Town Line with commercial, Tim Hortons possibly, an apartment building, condo building, daycare. And they are very, very concerned about that intersection. And it actually leads all the way then out of Clarington, but also impacting on the Clarington residents right up to the Harmony 401 interchange there as well. And that I'm hearing all the time. I'm luckily out of that traffic now because I'm going driving a different direction, but that traffic is just worse and worse all the time. I hear all the time about that. What is the plan on that? Although it's not in Clarington, but it impacts our residents.
Well, we have a project, I believe, for 2024 forecast construction from Harmony to Grandview in order to really line up with the Bowmanville Go extension. But this has been talked about at regional council to depth. The real solution there is to open up the interchange at Harmony and 401. And we've had numerous delegations to the ministers of transportation to try and get them to advance the ultimate Harmony 401 interchange modification, which would really open up that interchange. And obviously that's not in their 5-year plan, not in the 10-year plan. So we've been trying to get them to at least do an interim improvement where from Bloor, when you go westbound, rather than turning left now, at Harmony or the 401 interchange. We are trying to see if they would be open to doing an interim ramp that directly goes 401 westbound. That way, because the problem now is it's a single lane on ramp that people coming south from Harmony post 407 rely upon, as well as Blue rely upon. So we're trying to see if we can provide another relief valve. But that's again, we've been trying to get this from MTO. There's no clear commitment yet, but they haven't said no either, at least for the interim improvement.
So obviously I'm very concerned about Bloor Street, and being a new counselor too, how should we be, what do we do with that? I'm hearing 2026. I know that the residents are constantly complaining of the traffic. They're sitting in the traffic. As a local counselor, what can I be doing to advocate for them? What should I be saying to the residents too when they're coming to me and saying, I'm sure they'll be very upset to hear 2026. What suggestions do you have for me?
Perhaps Amanda, for Bloor and Townline, when is the last time you've done any review in terms of how the intersection operates? Are you able to, do you want to add anything on that? Sorry.
So I hear your concerns about Bloor Street. I drive that road myself quite often. The plans for Bloor and Townline right now are mainly with the development occurring. We're looking at plans to add additional capacity at the intersection to buy us some time before the widening of the corridor comes through. So we're looking at possible solutions in that respect. Also trying to push forward work further west as well on Bloor Street, because that, as Ramesh said, is where the bottleneck is occurring at that Harmony Road interchange. And until you can provide some relief there, it's just other improvements. You're just pushing more vehicles down to that area, really.
It has been earmarked for widening, but again, not the answer you want beyond 2031. The TMP did recognize it would have to be widened ultimately, but not within the forecast period, though.
Okay, thanks. And I guess my other question too is, what is the process around, how does the municipality work with the region? And some of the questions Councillor Neal had around Highway 2 and Preston Vale, because that whole area of South Curtis is a lot of volume through there. And, I know that Preston Vale is a municipal road with then Highway 2 being the regional road, and there is that intersection that he was speaking of, but the Robert Adams, that's just getting further and further blocked off, and then the line down Preston Vale, I really feel that it's not too far off where those cars are just sitting even on Preston Vale. The whole morning there, you can be sitting right on Preston Vale and barely moving, and it's getting more and more dangerous to make that left-hand turn from Robert Adams onto Preston Vale to get to Highway 2.
We had actually, now I'm hearing this loud and clear, Highway 2 and Preston Vale has to be looked at, and we will. In fact, I understand Clarington staff might have a little more data on the queues developing, southerly of Robert Adams, so we will get that data. Like I said, we are going to do a turning moment count soon, once the weather gets better, say in May. Based on that, the levers we have is the cycle length, signal timing, and then the ultimate solution would be to extend the turning lane. But that's, that doesn't happen overnight. But signal timing review can be, it can be implemented the week after, we have a solution.
Okay. No. Well, thank you very much, and I would just like to really let you know how much the residents are. I think it's probably one of our top concerns in especially in South Curtis around the traffic, and they're just really concerned because there's so much development there. There's so much more. They already feel that they're overwhelmed with the traffic, and they see all these new developments going in, and it's a big concern. So thank you very much for answering those questions.
If I can just make one quick note, Mr. Mayor, sorry about that. One thing we always have to be cautious about is anything that we do to favor the side road, like we get as many, if not more, complaints about the east-west progression, because like that's the way signal timing works, right? We try to maintain coordination on Highway 2 and Taunton and Bowmanville Avenue. Anytime you try to favor the side street more, so it's a balancing act. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great, Councillor Zwart, I've got you, but just before you go, we've got some staff and a couple of councillors that are really focused on their electronic devices, and we've got people that we have invited as guests. The optics aren't wonderful, so I'm assuming everyone's really paying attention, but if we could please, that would be great. Councillor Zwart.
Thank you. I was glad to hear that the intersection of Main and Best, where it intersects with Taunton Road, is slated for a beacon?
A flashing beacon, yeah.
Okay. That doesn't address the misalignment of that intersection, though, and I understand it's there's a plan for a roundabout at that intersection at some point. Is that correct?
Not in the forecast. Yeah, we do have a, what we call as an intersection control study. Anytime an intersection becomes a candidate for some modification in a rural location such as that, we go through the pre-screening criteria and then we do the intersection control study. And based on the many inputs go into the decision as to whether it's a roundabout or like a signal and so on. So that's in the works. Do you have a timing? Yeah, we have plans to study that for a roundabout feasibility in the near future.
What's near future for you?
Within the next 5 years, yeah. Like once with the flashing beacon, like you know, we you know that should help a bit. And then while that short term measure is in place, we would study that for a roundabout.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you have anything further? I've got a couple of questions for you. Ramesh, when you were talking about Preston Vale and Highway 2, I heard Amanda might have something to say about that. And Amanda, you didn't say anything about it, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Preston Vale and Highway 2.
And I'm guessing you live in that immediate area.
I actually live in Bowmanville.
Okay.
But I do frequent the South Curtis Arena very often, sometimes too often. Preston Vale and Highway 2. Just to get back to some of the things that Ramesh said, that the Robert Adams intersection would be Clarington's intersection. So we would work with Clarington staff. Obviously, it's the regional intersection is having an impact on Robert Adams intersection with queues spilling back. So we'll work with engineering staff to help minimize that queuing. The intersection itself, it's a tough one because we have all the required turn lanes are at the intersections. We have a right turn lane, left turn lane. And the timing is coordinated with other intersections on Highway 2. So there's, in terms of capacity, it's there. Right now, it's just a matter of tweaking the signal timings, I think, to give more time to where it's needed. And also the looking at that northbound left turn lane and seeing when it does queue back through the Robert Adams intersection, looking to see if extending that left turn storage so that the left turn queue does not block the through the vehicles destined to make a right turn at Highway 2. We don't want that to occur because then it's just going to extend the queue longer. So looking at solutions such as that, I think would go a long way to improve capacity and operations there.
Great, thank you. And I'm going to guess that we'll be looking to staff and looking to you and getting a sense of a timeline on what suggestions are for it. Ramesh, you talked about a cycling update. Anything you can share, and I'm particularly interested. Clarington is a big space. Cycling that is... that actually takes you somewhere. You know, so the recreational cycling is great, but you don't need to do a lot in Ajax to get somewhere. Curtis to Bowmanville, Bowmanville to Newcastle, you're talking 10 kilometers. So can you give us a sneak peek, and is there a change in the flavor, perhaps, and at the region in terms of what we're doing?
The regional cycling plan, the one that we are relying upon now, is about 6 years old, or almost 7 years old. Clearly, I think the culture and the desire for cycling is much different compared to 2012, like it was compared to 2006, I think. The cycling plan update is, in my mind, is going to be back to square one to find the right connections for cycling between communities, within and between communities. We have just, our planning department is taking the lead on this. Like, you know, we just implement the capital plans, but the planning department, the last update that I got from them, they are working on a request for proposal to which, like, you know, we provided input. The consultant is expected to come on board in early spring. And we are also expecting to use information like, can get that acronym, Strava data. So we certainly have a lot more information now compared to 6 years ago. All that would be become input to developing the next cycling network, which would guide us for the next 5 to 10 years.
Do you anticipate with the update and plan that council will be, I'm going to use the word forced, council needs to make decisions at budget. We need to make decisions infrequently. We don't. But will some, you know, absolute options be put in there that we can move the dial if or not, if we choose to? Because a lot of what happens, and you're grinning, and I know your frustration as well. Can we expect to see that?
Well, I think one of the recommendations, the transportation master plan, which hasn't been implemented yet, like to the extent it should be probably. As of now, we only do cycling facilities when it's time to do another capital project, right? So when it's time to do a rehabilitation or when it's time to do widening, then we implement the cycling infrastructure as per the recommended cycling network. But in the TMP, there was a recommendation to start doing this through infill projects. In fact, as of now, we are doing like projects, like 13 or 14 projects across the region on the heels of the Ontario Municipal Cycling Commuter Cycling Program, OMCC. In Clarington, I believe there's at least one project, if not more than one being on Bloor. So once we start doing this infill projects, the challenge is really like, you know, resourcing staff and design resources to actually do these one-offs, because, like, you know, this could be just like a $200,000 cycling facility, but it has its own planning and design and engagement and so on. But luckily, like on the OMCC, we've been working with local municipalities. Like, they've been really leading the design and delivery, but at some point in time, they're going to get choked as well. So short answer is, like, once we get into the mindset of we don't have to wait for a big capital project to build cycling, I think you would see an acceleration in the way we've funded. Because our cycling plan, which is about 8-9 years old now, recommended about 250 kilometers of cycling facilities. To date, we've completed less than 50 kilometers. That's because, like, you know, they always wait for another capital project to piggyback on. As long as that mindset prevails, and it prevails for good reasons because of cost considerations, if council is able to look beyond that mindset, like, you know, and including finance committees and so on, then I think you would see a shift in the rate at which we advance cycling.
Was an exceptionally politically astute answer. Thank you. thank you for that. Motion to second time around. Moved by Councillor Neal. Seconded by Councillor Hooper. All in support. Opposed. That is carried. Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on the Prestonville thing, because it was, I think it was stated that, well, there's a right-hand turn lane, but there's, that is part of the problem is, Once you either come straight up Prestonville or you turn left from Robert Adams, there's actually a cycling lane there that, you know, theoretically prevents you from pulling over into the right and trying to get around the traffic that's waiting for the left-hand turn. So I just, can you take another look at that? Because, you know, please.
Yeah, we certainly will commit to the time and we will talk to staff. as to what options may be on Robert Adams, on Preston Vale, or on Highway 2, both in terms of infrastructure and signal timing, lane markings, and so on.
Okay. And then what will happen after that, after you look at it? Will we hear back from